Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled The Widow's Revenge. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Queen Behind Bars. The clinking of chains echoed through the sterile corridors of Blackwater Correctional Facility as Vivian Hawthorne was led to her cell. The heavy iron doors slammed shut behind her, sealing her inside a stark, gray room. A narrow cot, a steel toilet, and a small window with iron bars were her only companions. The fluorescent lights above buzzed faintly, casting a pale glow over the space. Vivian stood still for a moment, letting the reality of her surroundings sink in. It was a far cry from the luxury of Hawthorne Manor, but Vivian wasn't fazed. She had anticipated this, planned for it, even. Her imprisonment wasn't the end of her story. It was merely the beginning of a new chapter. Days passed, and Vivian observed the prison's rhythm. Every environment had its own rules, its own hierarchy, and this place was no exception. She watched the other inmates as they walked the yard, noting alliances and rivalries. The guards, too, were part of the game. Some indifferent, some cruel, and some desperate enough to be manipulated. Vivian's first move came when she approached the cafeteria line. A towering woman named Tasha, who ruled the prison with an iron fist, shoved past her. Plates clattered as the other inmates stepped aside, avoiding eye contact. Vivian didn't flinch. "Excuse me," Vivian said, her tone cold but controlled. Tasha turned slowly, her dark eyes narrowing. "You got a problem, new girl?" Vivian smiled faintly. "No problem. Just thought manners might not be extinct in here." The room went silent. Everyone waited to see Tasha's reaction. Tasha let out a bark of laughter. "You've got guts. Stupid, but gutsy." Vivian's smile widened. "Guts are what keep people alive in a place like this, wouldn't you agree?" Tasha stared at her for a moment, then smirked. "We'll see how long you last." She stepped aside, letting Vivian take her place in line. The message was clear. Vivian wasn't someone to underestimate. Later that night, Vivian lay on her cot, staring at the cracked ceiling. She could feel the other inmates watching her through the bars, whispering about the woman who had stood up to Tasha. She let them talk. Rumors were a powerful tool, an opening gambit in the game she was about to play. The next day, a prison guard named Miller approached her during yard time. His uniform was crisp, but the nervous twitch in his hands betrayed his lack of confidence. "Mrs. Hawthorne," Miller said, his voice low. "You've got a visitor." Vivian raised an eyebrow. "A visitor? How unexpected." He gestured for her to follow. The other inmates watched as Vivian was led away, their curiosity simmering. Inside, Vivian was pleased. A public escort to the visitor's room would only add to her mystique. In the visitation area, Vivian was greeted by an unfamiliar man in a cheap suit. He had thinning hair and a nervous energy that annoyed her. "Who are you?" Vivian asked, sitting gracefully across from him. "Name's Baxter," the man said, adjusting his tie. "I'm, let's say, a facilitator." Vivian tilted her head, intrigued but cautious. "And what exactly do you facilitate?" Baxter leaned in, lowering his voice. "Opportunities. I've been sent by someone on the outside who thinks you're worth investing in." Vivian's lips curved into a faint smile. "Investing in? I'm flattered. But I don't come cheap." Baxter chuckled nervously. "They know. That's why I'm here. They want to know if you're ready to play the long game." Vivian leaned back, her gray eyes piercing. "The long game is the only game." Baxter nodded, sliding a piece of paper across the table. "This is a starting point. Memorize it. Then destroy it." Vivian picked up the paper and scanned it. It was a list of names, guards, inmates, and even outside contacts. Each name represented a piece of the puzzle she would use to regain her power. "This will do," Vivian said, folding the paper neatly. "Tell your employer I'm in." Baxter stood, adjusting his tie again. "They'll be pleased. And Vivian, they said to remind you. Time is your greatest ally, and your greatest enemy." Vivian watched him leave, her mind already working. The list was her first real tool in this new environment, and she knew exactly how to use it. Back in her cell, Vivian stared at the names until they were burned into her memory. Then she tore the paper into tiny pieces and flushed them down the toilet. The guards thought they had caged her, but they had only given her the perfect stage. The next day, Vivian approached Tasha in the yard. The towering woman glanced down at her, amused. come to apologize? Tasha asked. Vivian shook her head. I've come to make you an offer. Tasha raised an eyebrow. An offer? What could you possibly have that I want? Vivian smiled, her voice soft but commanding. Connections. Resources. A way out of this place, if you're smart enough to work with me. Tasha laughed, but there was an edge of curiosity in her gaze. And why would you help me? Because I need allies, Vivian said simply. And you need someone with vision. Tasha studied her for a long moment before nodding. All right, widow. Let's see what you've got. That night, Vivian sat on her cot satisfied. The first piece of her new web had been spun. She wasn't just surviving in Blackwater Correctional Facility. She was beginning to thrive. And as she drifted off to sleep, one thought echoed in her mind. This isn't the end. This is the beginning. The Widow's Revenge. Chapter 2, The Hidden Hand. The early morning routine at Blackwater Correctional Facility was as monotonous as ever. Guards shouting commands, inmates shuffling to their assigned stations. But Vivian Hawthorne thrived in the monotony. It allowed her to observe, analyze, and strategize without drawing undue attention. By now, whispers of her confrontation with Tasha had spread through the prison like wildfire. Inmates gave her a wide berth in the yard, unsure whether to fear or admire her. Vivian let them wonder. Uncertainty was her weapon, and every rumor was another thread in the web she was weaving. Vivian's morning was interrupted when a guard, Miller, her chosen pawn, approached her during breakfast. His movements were nervous, his gaze darting around the room. Mrs. Hawthorne, he said quietly, addressing her with an unusual level of respect. I need to speak with you. Vivian set down her coffee and raised an eyebrow. Now! Yes, Miller said, glancing over his shoulder. It's important. Vivian stood, following Miller to a quiet corner of the cafeteria. The other inmates watched but said nothing. Miller handed her a folded piece of paper, his hand trembling slightly. What is this? Vivian asked, unfolding it with deliberate care. Instructions, Miller whispered. From the outside. Vivian scanned the note. It was a coded message, written in a simple cipher she recognized immediately. It detailed her next steps, an inmate she needed to influence, a guard she needed to bribe, and a package she needed smuggled into the prison. Vivian folded the note again, slipping it into her pocket. Understood. Miller hesitated, his voice barely audible. You're playing a dangerous game. Vivian smiled faintly. Danger is the only game worth playing, Mr. Miller. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have work to do. That afternoon, Vivian sought out the first name on her list. Clara, the timid young inmate she had been watching since her arrival. Clara was sweeping the floors near the laundry room, her movements anxious and mechanical. She flinched when Vivian approached. Clara, Vivian said softly, her tone disarming. May I have a word? Clara glanced up, her eyes wide with fear. I don't want any trouble. Trouble? Vivian asked with a light laugh. Quite the opposite. I'm here to offer you an opportunity. Clara froze, her broom clutched tightly in her hands. What kind of opportunity? Vivian stepped closer, lowering her voice. A chance to be something more than a number in this place. To have a purpose. Clara's brow furrowed. I don't understand. You will, Vivian said, her tone patient. But first, I need your help. There's a package coming into the prison soon. I need you to retrieve it. Clara's eyes widened. I can't do that. If I get caught. You won't get caught, Vivian interrupted, her voice firm. I'll make sure of it. Clara hesitated, torn between fear and curiosity. Why me? Because I see potential in you, Vivian said, her gray eyes locking onto Clara's. And because I always reward loyalty. Clara swallowed hard, then nodded. Okay, I'll do it. Vivian smiled. Good. You won't regret it. The next step in Vivian's plan required a delicate touch. She needed to secure the cooperation of a guard who was more valuable and more ambitious than Miller. That meant targeting Officer Danvers, a man with a reputation for bending the rules when the price was right. Vivian approached Danvers during yard time, catching him alone as he supervised the weightlifting area. She stood just close enough to draw his attention, but not the suspicion of the other guards. Officer Danvers, Vivian said smoothly. I wonder if I might have a word. Danvers looked her up and down, his expression skeptical. What do you want, Hawthorne? I've heard you're a man who appreciates opportunity, Vivian said, her voice low but confident. Danvers frowned. What kind of opportunity? The kind that pays, Vivian replied, her smile faint. Generously. Danvers crossed his arms, his tone wary. You think I'm stupid enough to get involved in whatever you're planning? I think you're smart enough to see the value in it, Vivian countered. And I think you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck. Danvers studied her for a long moment, his eyes narrowing. What's the offer? Vivian leaned closer, her voice barely above a whisper. There's a package coming in next week. I need it delivered to me, no questions asked. You'll be well compensated. Danvers hesitated, glancing around the yard. And if I say no? Vivian's smile widened, her tone taking on a subtle edge. Then you miss out on a very lucrative arrangement. But let's not waste time on hypotheticals. I trust you'll make the right choice. Danvers scowled but nodded. I'll think about it. You do that, Vivian said, stepping back. And let me know when you're ready to discuss terms. By the end of the day, Vivian's web was already beginning to take shape. Clara had agreed to retrieve the package, and Danvers was wavering. All she needed now was the final piece of the puzzle, the timing. Vivian returned to her cell that night, her mind racing with possibilities. She knew Crane was still out there, watching, waiting for her to make a mistake. But she also knew how to stay one step ahead. As she lay on her cot, staring at the ceiling, Vivian allowed herself a small smile. The wheels were in motion, and soon, the walls of Blackwater Correctional Facility would no longer hold her. For now, patience was her greatest weapon. But when the time came, Vivian would strike with precision, and the world would remember why she was never to be underestimated. The Widow's Revenge. Chapter 3, A New Pawn. The fluorescent lights in Blackwater Correctional Facility buzzed softly as Vivian Hawthorne prepared for the next phase of her plan. With each passing day, her influence grew stronger. Clara, the young and impressionable inmate she had taken under her wing, was the perfect pawn, timid enough to be manipulated yet eager to please. And Officer Danvers, though still reluctant, was inching closer to compliance. Vivian sat in the corner of the common area, a tattered book in her hands. To anyone watching, she appeared absorbed in the worn pages, but her sharp gray eyes occasionally flicked up to observe her surroundings. Clara approached hesitantly, her small frame nearly swallowed by the ill-fitting prison uniform. Vivian, Clara whispered, glancing around nervously. I've got news. Vivian closed her book, giving Clara her full attention. Go on. It's coming, Clara said, her voice trembling. The package will be here tomorrow during laundry delivery. Vivian smiled faintly, her tone calm. Good. You know what to do. Clara nodded, but her hands fidgeted with the hem of her shirt. I think so. Vivian reached out, gently placing a hand on Clara's. Think. No, Clara. You know, this is important, and I need you to be certain. Clara swallowed hard, meeting Vivian's gaze. I'll do it. I promise. Good girl, Vivian said, her voice soft but firm. Remember, no mistakes. The next day, the prison was alive with activity. Laundry delivery days were routine, the humdrum of carts being pushed and clothes sorted providing perfect cover for something illicit. Vivian watched from her cell window as the truck pulled into the loading dock, her sharp mind already calculating every possible outcome. Clara moved with purpose, though her nerves were visible in the stiffness of her posture. She blended in with the other inmates tasked with unloading the carts, but her focus was singular. Retrieve the package and deliver it to Vivian. A guard barked orders nearby, but Clara kept her head down, her fingers deftly sifting through piles of laundry. At the bottom of one cart, she found it, a tightly wrapped bundle hidden beneath layers of fabric. Her heart raced as she slipped it into her jacket and continued working as if nothing had happened. Later, in the relative privacy of the laundry room, Clara handed the package to Vivian. Her hands shook slightly as she passed it over. Here, Clara whispered. I did it. Vivian inspected the bundle, her movements deliberate. Inside was exactly what she had requested. A burner phone, a roll of cash, and a small vial of what appeared to be a clear liquid. She nodded in approval. Well done, Vivian said, her tone warm. You've proven yourself, Clara. Clara's face lit up at the rare praise. What happens now? Now, Vivian said, tucking the items into her waistband, we move to the next stage. Later that evening, Vivian approached Officer Danvers in the dimly lit hallway outside the guard's lounge. She had timed her approach perfectly, ensuring they wouldn't be interrupted. Danvers, Vivian said smoothly, her voice low. I believe it's time we finalize our arrangement. Danvers looked around, his expression wary. What do you mean? Vivian reached into her pocket, pulling out the roll of cash from the package. She held it up, letting the faint light catch the crisp bills. This. for your cooperation. Danvers stared at the money, his internal conflict evident. You know if I get caught? You won't, Vivian interrupted, her tone firm. Not if you follow my instructions. Danvers hesitated, then nodded. What do you need? Vivian smiled faintly, slipping the cash into his hand. Access. To the phone bank. One call, no questions. Danvers pocketed the money, his expression grim. Fine. But this is the last time. Of course, Vivian said, her voice smooth as silk. You have my word. That night, under the cover of darkness, Vivian made her call. The burner phone buzzed faintly against her ear as she waited for the line to connect. A familiar voice answered on the other end. Vivian, the voice said, calm but with an edge of intrigue. I was wondering when I'd hear from you. Things are progressing as planned, Vivian replied, her tone clipped. But I need additional resources. Resources? The voice asked. You're in prison. What could you possibly need? Leverage, Vivian said simply. There are people I need removed and others I need brought under control. The voice chuckled softly. Always the strategist. Fine. I'll make the arrangements. But remember, Vivian, our agreement has terms. Don't overreach. Vivian's lips curved into a faint smile. I never do. She ended the call, her mind racing with possibilities. The pieces were falling into place, and soon she would have everything she needed to dismantle the walls around her, both literal and figurative. The next day, Clara sat with Vivian in the yard, the tension in her body replaced by a growing sense of loyalty. She looked to Vivian not just as an ally, but as a mentor, someone who saw potential in her when no one else did. Vivian, Clara began hesitantly, why are you helping me? Vivian tilted her head, her gray eyes studying the young woman. Because you remind me of myself. And because everyone deserves a chance to rise above their circumstances. Clara nodded, a faint smile breaking across her face. For the first time, she felt a flicker of hope. Vivian leaned closer, her voice soft but commanding. But remember, Clara, loyalty is everything. Betrayal, even unintentional, is unforgivable. Clara's smile faltered, and she nodded quickly. I won't let you down. Good, Vivian said, her tone firm. Because we're just getting started. As the sun set over Blackwater Correctional Facility, Vivian returned to her cell, her mind alive with possibilities. She had her pawn, her resources, and her strategy. The walls around her were no longer barriers. They were tools, and Vivian Hawthorne had always known how to use her tools to devastating effect. Her smile widened as she lay on her cot, the faint hum of the prison's security systems a comforting reminder of how much control she had already gained. The game was far from over, and Vivian was just beginning to play. The Widow's Revenge. Chapter 4, Seeds of Deception. The next morning, Blackwater Correctional Facility buzzed with its usual chaos. Guards barked orders, inmates shuffled to their tasks, and the hum of the routine drowned out any sense of individuality. But for Vivian Hawthorne, the monotony was a playground. Each interaction, each glance, each whispered conversation was another thread in the intricate web she was weaving. Vivian sat on the edge of her cot, her expression calm but her mind racing. Today, the next phase of her plan would begin, and the key to its success was Clara. The young woman had proven herself loyal, but loyalty was a fragile thing. It needed to be nurtured and leveraged. In the yard, Clara sat alone, her gaze darting nervously between groups of inmates. Vivian approached her with measured steps, her presence commanding without being overt. Clara looked up as Vivian sat beside her, relief flashing in her eyes. Clara, Vivian began softly, how are you feeling? Clara shrugged, her hands fidgeting with the hem of her shirt. Okay, I guess. Just nervous. Vivian placed a reassuring hand on Clara's shoulder. That's natural. But remember, you're stronger than you think. You've already proven that. Clara nodded, her expression softening. Thanks, Vivian. I don't want to mess up. You won't, Vivian said firmly. I wouldn't have chosen you if I thought you couldn't handle it. Clara's face brightened at the rare compliment. What's next? Vivian leaned in, her voice lowering to a conspiratorial whisper. There's someone I need you to talk to. An inmate named Yvonne. She's part of Tasha's crew, but she's not as loyal as she seems. I need you to plant a seed of doubt. Clara frowned. What do you mean? Vivian's smile was faint, almost maternal. Tell her that Tasha is planning to cut her out of a deal. Make it sound like you overheard it by accident. Let her paranoia do the rest. Clara hesitated, but Vivian's steady gaze gave her confidence. Okay, I can do that. Good, Vivian said, her tone soothing. Remember, Clara, this isn't just about me. It's about us. Everything I do is for our future. Clara nodded, her loyalty solidifying. I won't let you down. Later that day, Clara found Yvonne in the laundry room, folding clothes with practiced indifference. Yvonne was tall and broad-shouldered, her sharp features softened only slightly by the tired look in her eyes. Clara approached cautiously, her movements hesitant but purposeful. Hey, Yvonne, Clara said, her voice casual. Yvonne glanced up, her expression wary. What do you want? I just thought you should know something, Clara said, lowering her voice. I heard Tasha talking earlier. Something about a deal. She said she didn't need you anymore. Yvonne's eyes narrowed. What are you talking about? Clara shifted nervously, playing her role perfectly. I don't know all the details. I just overheard her saying she's cutting you out. Thought you should know. Yvonne stared at Clara for a moment, her jaw tightening. Finally, she nodded. Thanks for the heads up. Clara offered a small, nervous smile before retreating. As she left the laundry room, her heart raced with a mix of fear and exhilaration. She had done what Vivian asked, and now all she could do was wait. Back in her cell, Vivian watched as the seeds she had planted began to take root. Yvonne's paranoia spread quickly, causing tension within Tasha's crew. Arguments broke out in the yard, and Vivian observed it all with quiet satisfaction. Disruption was the first step toward control. That evening, Officer Danvers approached Vivian during the shift change. His expression was tense, his voice low. We need to talk, Danvers said, glancing around to ensure they weren't overheard. Vivian gestured for him to follow her to a quiet corner. What's on your mind, Danvers? The warden's getting suspicious, Danvers said. There's been talk about contraband coming in. If this blows back on me. It won't, Vivian interrupted smoothly. You followed my instructions perfectly. No one suspects you. Danvers rubbed the back of his neck, clearly unconvinced. Still, I don't like this. What if the warden decides to start searching cells? Vivian's smile was faint but reassuring. Let me handle the warden. You just stick to the plan. Danvers hesitated, then nodded. Fine. But this is the last time, Hawthorne. Of course, Vivian said, her tone sweet but dismissive. Now go. We wouldn't want anyone to think we're conspiring. That night, Vivian made another call on the burner phone, her voice calm and controlled as she spoke to her contact on the outside. Everything is progressing as expected, she said. But I need you to escalate the timeline. The voice on the other end was cautious. Escalate? That's risky. Risk is irrelevant, Vivian replied. I'm in control. Just do as I've asked. The line went silent for a moment before the voice responded. Fine. But if this backfires? It won't, Vivian said, cutting them off. Good night. She ended the call and leaned back against the wall, her mind racing. The pieces were falling into place, but there was still more work to be done. The following morning, the tension in the prison reached a boiling point. Yvonne confronted Tasha in the yard, accusing her of betrayal. Their argument quickly turned physical, drawing the attention of the guards. As the chaos unfolded, Vivian watched from a distance, her expression calm but satisfied. The power dynamic was shifting, just as she had planned. By the end of the day, Tasha's crew was fractured, and Vivian's influence had grown stronger. Clara returned to her cell that evening, her eyes wide with a mix of fear and awe. Vivian, Clara said breathlessly. It worked. They're turning on each other. Of course it worked, Vivian said, her tone cool. Now we move on to the next phase. Clara nodded, her loyalty unwavering. What do you need me to do? Vivian smiled faintly, her gray eyes glittering with calculated intent. Be patient, Clara. The game is just beginning. As the lights dimmed and the prison settled into uneasy silence, Vivian lay on her cot, the pieces of her plan falling into place. Chaos was her currency, and she was a master at spending it wisely. Soon, the prison walls would be no more than a memory, and the world outside would learn that Vivian Hawthorne was far from finished. The Widow's Revenge. Chapter 5, The Great Escape. The rising tension in Blackwater Correctional Facility felt like a pressure cooker about to burst. With Tasha's crew in disarray, and the guards distracted by infighting among the inmates, Vivian Hawthorne knew her moment was near. Every calculated move, every manipulation had been building to this. Her escape. Vivian sat in her cell, seemingly serene, as Clara paced nervously in front of her. The young woman wrung her hands, her anxiety growing with each passing moment. Are you sure about this? Clara whispered. If something goes wrong. Nothing will go wrong, Vivian said calmly, her voice steady. Everything is in place. All you need to do is follow the plan. Clara stopped pacing, her eyes filled with doubt. What if I mess up? Vivian stood and placed a reassuring hand on Clara's shoulder. You won't. You've done everything I've asked perfectly so far. Trust me, Clara. We're almost free. Clara nodded, swallowing hard. Okay, I'll do it. Vivian smiled faintly, her gray eyes glinting with quiet determination. Good girl. Now go. The plan was simple in its brilliance, designed to exploit the chaos Vivian had carefully nurtured over the past few weeks. The prison riot would serve as a perfect diversion, giving her and Clara the opportunity to slip away unnoticed. But orchestrating such an event required precision and a touch of ruthlessness, qualities Vivian possessed in abundance. Earlier that day, Vivian had sent a coded message through Officer Danvers, ensuring the delivery of a contraband package to one of the more volatile inmates. The package contained a weapon, a crude but effective shiv, and a handwritten note suggesting Tasha was planning to take control of the prison by force. The inmate, a hot-headed woman named Marcy, was just the spark Vivian needed. By evening, the tension in the yard had reached its peak. Marcy confronted Tasha near the weightlifting area, the shiv hidden in her sleeve. Their shouting match drew the attention of the guards and other inmates, creating a ripple effect of arguments and scuffles. Vivian watched from a distance, her expression calm as chaos unfolded around her. The guards scrambled to contain the violence, their radios crackling with frantic calls for backup. The alarm blared, signaling a lockdown, but the situation was already spiraling out of control. Clara appeared at Vivian's side, her face pale but determined. It's happening, she whispered. Stay close to me, Vivian instructed, her voice steady. And remember, no hesitation. As the riot escalated, Vivian and Clara moved through the chaos with purpose. Vivian had studied the prison's layout meticulously, memorizing every corridor, every blind spot. They slipped through the melee, avoiding both guards and inmates, until they reached the utility corridor leading to the service exit. Officer Danvers was waiting for them, his face pale and sweat glistening on his forehead. This is insane, he hissed. If anyone finds out... No one will find out, Vivian said smoothly, handing him another roll of cash. You've done your part. Now open the door. Danvers hesitated for a moment, then nodded. He unlocked the heavy steel door, revealing a dimly lit maintenance tunnel. This leads to the outside. You've got 5 minutes before the cameras come back online. Vivian placed a hand on his arm, her tone soft but firm. Thank you, Danvers. Your discretion will be rewarded. Danvers didn't respond, his guilt evident as he stepped aside to let them pass. The tunnel was narrow and damp, the sound of dripping water echoing through the space. Clara followed close behind Vivian, her breathing shallow and quick. This is really happening, Clara whispered. We're actually doing it. Focus, Vivian said sharply. We're not out yet. The tunnel opened onto a storm drain that led to a secluded area outside the prison walls. A black SUV idled nearby, its headlights off. As they approached, the driver's window rolled down, revealing a man in a dark suit. Mrs. Hawthorne, the man said, his tone clipped. Right on time. Vivian nodded, her composure unshaken. I trust everything is ready? It is, the man replied. Get in. Clara hesitated, glancing back at the prison in the distance. What about? Clara, Vivian interrupted, her voice soft but commanding. We have to go. Now. Clara swallowed hard, then climbed into the SUV. Vivian followed, settling into the seat with the ease of someone who had planned every detail. As the vehicle pulled away, the prison alarm faded into the distance. Hours later, the SUV arrived at a remote safe house nestled in a wooded area. Inside, the atmosphere was calm but charged with purpose. The man handed Vivian a burner phone and a folder of documents. New identities, he explained. Bank access codes, travel arrangements, everything you'll need to start fresh. Vivian flipped through the folder, her expression unreadable. Well done. The man hesitated. What about her? He nodded toward Clara, who stood awkwardly by the door. Vivian glanced at Clara, a faint smile on her lips. She's with me. For now. Clara's face lit up with gratitude, but the man's expression remained wary. Understood. I'll be in touch. After the man left, Clara approached Vivian, her voice trembling. What now? Vivian placed a hand on Clara's shoulder, her tone soothing. Now we rebuild. But first, you need to rest. Tomorrow, everything changes. Clara nodded, her loyalty solidified. Okay. Thank you, Vivian. For everything. Vivian smiled faintly, watching as Clara retreated to a nearby room. Once she was alone, Vivian's expression hardened. She picked up the burner phone and dialed a number from memory. It's done, she said when the line connected. Begin the next phase. Back at Blackwater, Detective Elijah Crane stood in the warden's office, his expression grim as the details of the riot and escape were relayed to him. Hawthorne, Crane muttered, his jaw tightening. She's out. The warden nodded, his frustration evident. She had help. This wasn't spontaneous. Crane's mind raced. He knew Vivian better than anyone, and he knew she wouldn't simply run. She had a plan, a long game that was already in motion. She won't stop, Crane said, his voice low. Not until she gets exactly what she wants. And what's that? The warden asked. Crane's eyes narrowed. Control. As the warden began issuing orders to track Vivian down, Crane stared out the window, the storm clouds mirroring the turmoil in his mind. Vivian was out, and the chase had begun. Far away, in the quiet of the safe house, Vivian sat by the fire, a glass of wine in her hand. The flames danced in her gray eyes as she contemplated her next move. The walls of Blackwater were behind her, but her game was far from over. For Vivian Hawthorne, freedom was only the beginning. The Widow's Revenge. Chapter 6, The Widow Returns. The safe house was quiet, nestled deep in the woods, far from prying eyes. Vivian Hawthorne sat by the window, sipping her morning coffee, her sharp gaze fixed on the forest outside. The crisp air and the chirping of birds were a stark contrast to the chaos she had left behind at Blackwater Correctional Facility. But Vivian's mind was far from serene. She wasn't merely savoring her freedom. She was strategizing her return to power. Clara entered the room, her steps tentative. She had grown more confident under Vivian's guidance, but her awe of the older woman remained. Vivian turned to her, offering a faint smile. Did you sleep well? Vivian asked. Clara nodded. I did. Thank you. Good, Vivian said, setting her cup down. We have much to do. Clara hesitated. What's the plan now? Vivian stood, her presence commanding. The plan is to rebuild. But first, we must disappear. Hours later, Vivian and Clara arrived in the heart of a bustling city, their appearances transformed. Vivian now sported sleek auburn hair, her demeanor as polished as ever. Clara, dressed modestly but confidently, followed her like a shadow. The two women checked into a luxury hotel under their new identities, Elizabeth Carrington and her assistant and porter. Vivian moved through the hotel lobby with ease, her charm disarming as she greeted staff and guests alike. She was no longer the infamous widow of Hawthorne Manor. She was a sophisticated socialite, ready to blend seamlessly into her new life. Detective Elijah Crane sat in his office, poring over reports. The escape from Blackwater had set off a nationwide manhunt, but Vivian had vanished without a trace. Crane's frustration mounted as he stared at a map littered with dead-end leads. She's too smart to leave a trail, Crane muttered to himself. Dr. Penelope Marks entered, her expression grim. Any progress? Crane shook his head. She's gone underground. But she won't stay hidden for long. Vivian doesn't know how to live quietly. Marks folded her arms. She's already building her next move. You know that. Crane nodded. And when she surfaces, I'll be ready. Vivian wasted no time inserting herself into her new environment. She attended an exclusive charity gala that evening, her confidence radiating as she mingled with the city's elite. Her charm and wit captivated everyone she met, from wealthy businessmen to high-profile philanthropists. Clara watched from a distance, marveling at Vivian's ability to adapt. She had seen the manipulative side of Vivian, the ruthless strategist, but here, in this glittering world, Vivian was a chameleon, a master of reinvention. By the end of the night, Vivian had secured an invitation to a private investment club run by a man named Charles Whitmore. Whitmore was a self-made millionaire with a reputation for ambition and a penchant for secrets. Vivian saw him as her next opportunity. Over the following weeks, Vivian cultivated her relationship with Whitmore, attending meetings, sharing ideas, and subtly gaining his trust. She positioned herself as an astute investor, offering insights that impressed even the most skeptical members of the club. One evening, Whitmore invited Vivian to dinner at his penthouse. The two sat by a large window overlooking the city, their conversation flowing effortlessly. You're a fascinating woman, Elizabeth, Whitmore said, his tone warm. I feel like there's much more to you than meets the eye. Vivian smiled, her expression enigmatic. and you're a perceptive man, Charles. But I assure you, I'm exactly who I appear to be. Whitmore chuckled. I'm not sure I believe that, but I won't press. For now. Vivian raised her glass, her gray eyes gleaming. To mutual understanding. They clinked glasses, the sound ringing softly in the elegant room. Meanwhile, Crane received a tip about Vivian's possible whereabouts. A source claimed to have seen her at a gala in the city, but the description was vague, and the lead was tenuous. Still, Crane couldn't ignore it. He boarded a flight to the city, his resolve firm. Vivian was out there, and he was determined to find her. Back at the hotel, Vivian returned to her suite, where Clara waited nervously. How did it go? Clara asked. Vivian removed her earrings with deliberate calm. Perfectly. Whitmore trusts me. Clara frowned. What happens when he finds out who you really are? Vivian's smile was cold. He won't. By the time he realizes anything, it will already be too late. Clara shifted uncomfortably. I don't know how you do it. Lying to everyone, playing these games. Vivian stepped closer, her tone sharp but not unkind. You think life isn't a game, Clara? You think the world rewards honesty and innocence? It doesn't. It rewards those who take what they want. Clara nodded, though her discomfort lingered. I understand. Good, Vivian said, her voice softening. Because this is our chance to take control. To have the lives we deserve. That night, as Clara slept, Vivian sat by the window, the city lights reflecting in her eyes. She thought of Crane, of Blackwater, of the countless obstacles she had overcome to get here. Each step had been calculated, each risk carefully weighed. And now, she was on the verge of something greater. The game was hers to control, and Vivian Hawthorne never played to lose. Far across the city, Crane arrived at his hotel, his mind racing with possibilities. He didn't know where Vivian was hiding, but he could feel her presence, like a shadow moving just beyond his reach. Their paths were set to collide again, and when they did, the stakes would be higher than ever. As the first rays of dawn broke over the skyline, Vivian smiled to herself. Freedom wasn't enough. She wanted power, control, and revenge. And she would stop at nothing to achieve it. The Widow's Revenge. Chapter 7, The New Game. Vivian Hawthorne stood on the balcony of her luxury hotel suite, her auburn hair glowing in the golden light of sunset. Below her, the city hummed with life, a vast network of people oblivious to the storm brewing in their midst. Vivian held a glass of champagne, her grip firm but relaxed. Her reflection in the glass door behind her revealed not a fugitive on the run, but a woman in control, poised, calculating, and ready to strike. Inside, Clara nervously shuffled through papers spread across the suite's dining table. Vivian had tasked her with researching Charles Whitmore's business dealings, and the sheer volume of information was overwhelming. I found a few things, Clara said hesitantly as Vivian stepped back inside. There's a shell company registered in his name. It looks suspicious. Vivian took the papers from Clara, her sharp eyes scanning the details. A faint smile tugged at her lips. Very good, Clara. This is exactly what I need. Clara exhaled, relieved at the praise. What are you going to do with it? Vivian set the papers down and sipped her champagne. Whitmore is ambitious, but ambition makes men careless. He's hiding something, and I'm going to find out what it is. Once I do, he'll have no choice but to play my game. Clara frowned. What if he doesn't? What if he fights back? Vivian's smile widened, cold and confident. Then he'll lose. That evening, Vivian attended another private meeting of Whitmore's investment club. She wore a sleek, emerald green dress that drew every eye in the room, her presence commanding without effort. Whitmore greeted her warmly, his admiration for her intelligence and charm growing with every interaction. You've become quite the star of our little group, Elizabeth, Whitmore said, leading her to a private seating area. I simply enjoy good company and stimulating conversation, Vivian replied, her tone smooth as silk. Whitmore chuckled. Well, you certainly bring both to the table. I'd like to discuss a project with you. Something exclusive. Vivian's interest piqued, though she kept her expression neutral. I'm intrigued. Tell me more. Whitmore leaned in, lowering his voice. I'm launching a new venture, a tech startup with enormous potential. The kind of opportunity that could triple your investment in a matter of months. But it's not for everyone. I'm looking for serious partners. Vivian tilted her head, feigning thoughtful consideration. That sounds promising. I'd love to learn more about the specifics. Whitmore smiled, clearly pleased. I'll send you the details tomorrow. I think you'll find it irresistible. Vivian returned his smile, her mind already calculating the angles. Whitmore's project could be legitimate, or it could be her way to gain leverage over him. The next morning, Vivian received the documents Whitmore had promised. She spent hours dissecting them, her analytical mind catching subtle inconsistencies. Clara hovered nearby, watching as Vivian pieced together a puzzle hidden beneath the surface. "There," Vivian said, pointing to a line in the financial breakdown. "This transfer doesn't add up. It's routed through the same shell company you found." Clara leaned over, squinting at the numbers. "What does that mean?" "It means Whitmore is hiding something," Vivian replied. "And I intend to find out what." Clara hesitated. "What if he finds out you're looking into him?" Vivian's gray eyes met Clara's, sharp and unyielding. "Then I'll turn the tables before he has a chance to react." Meanwhile, Detective Elijah Crane prowled the streets of the city, his instincts driving him toward Vivian. The gala lead had gone cold, but whispers of a mysterious woman ingratiating herself with powerful men kept surfacing. Crane stopped at a cafe near one of the city's most exclusive hotels, his coffee untouched as he sifted through reports. Dr. Penelope Marks joined him, setting a file on the table. "You look like you haven't slept," Marks said, her tone blunt. "I haven't," Crane admitted, scanning the file. "What do you have?" "A contact of mine works in the financial sector," Marks said. "They mentioned someone matching Vivian's description, attending high-level investment meetings. It's thin, but it's something." Crane's jaw tightened. "That's her." "It has to be." Marks nodded. "Then we need to move quickly. Vivian doesn't leave loose ends." Crane's gaze darkened. "Neither do I." Vivian's investigation into Whitmore deepened over the next few days. Using the burner phone and carefully chosen aliases, she contacted associates of Whitmore's, probing for information. She discovered that his startup was a front, a cover for laundering money through offshore accounts. That evening, Vivian confronted Whitmore during a private dinner in his penthouse. The atmosphere was intimate, the city lights sparkling through the floor-to-ceiling windows. "This is lovely," Vivian said, swirling her wine. "But I couldn't help noticing some irregularities in the documents you sent me." Whitmore stiffened, his smile faltering. "Irregularities?" Vivian leaned forward, her gaze piercing. "The transfers through your shell company. The offshore accounts. It's all very creative." Whitmore's face darkened. "I don't know what you're talking about." "Don't insult me, Charles," Vivian said, her tone icy. "You've been using your startup as a cover for money laundering. I admire the ingenuity, but you underestimated how closely I pay attention." Whitmore's jaw clenched. "If you think you can blackmail me." "Blackmail?" Vivian interrupted, her voice sharp. "Charles, I'm offering you a partnership. Imagine what we could accomplish together." Whitmore studied her, his wariness slowly giving way to intrigue. "What exactly are you proposing?" "A mutually beneficial arrangement," Vivian said, her smile returning. "You keep your operation running, and I ensure its success, discreetly, of course. In exchange, I want access to your accounts, your network, your resources." Whitmore hesitated, then nodded. "Fine. But if you cross me." "I won't," Vivian said smoothly. "I always honor my deals." Back at the hotel, Clara waited anxiously for Vivian's return. When Vivian finally walked in, her expression was one of triumph. "It's done," Vivian said, pouring herself a drink. "Whitmore is mine." Clara's eyes widened. "What now?" "Now," Vivian said, her voice steady, "we use his resources to expand our reach. Whitmore is just the beginning." Clara nodded, her admiration for Vivian growing despite her lingering fear. "You're amazing." Vivian smiled faintly, but her thoughts were already elsewhere. The game was far from over, and every move brought her closer to the power she craved and the revenge she sought. Meanwhile, Crane stood outside the hotel where Vivian was rumored to be staying. His gut told him she was close, but he knew better than to rush in blindly. Vivian was a master manipulator, and one misstep could cost him everything. "She's here," Crane muttered to himself. "I can feel it." As the city lights flickered around him, Crane prepared for the confrontation he knew was inevitable. Vivian Hawthorne was back in the game, and this time, the stakes were higher than ever. The Widow's Revenge. Chapter 8, The Trap. The city buzzed with its usual energy, a facade of order masking the chaos beneath. Vivian Hawthorne thrived in such environments. Her ability to manipulate the power brokers and unseen forces made her an unstoppable presence. With Charles Whitmore under her influence, Vivian now had the resources to expand her operations, but her every move carried risk. She knew that Detective Elijah Crane wasn't far behind. Vivian sat in her luxury suite, the city skyline sprawling before her. Clara stood nearby, holding a tablet displaying the details of Whitmore's accounts and his offshore dealings. The numbers told a story of wealth and ambition, but Vivian's eyes were on the larger prize. "Everything's in place," Clara said hesitantly. "Whitmore trusts you." Vivian smiled faintly, her gaze not leaving the skyline. "Trust is a fragile thing, Clara. That's why I never rely on it." Clara frowned. "Then what's the next move?" Vivian turned to her, her gray eyes sharp. "Leverage. Whitmore is a stepping stone. I need him to open doors to bigger opportunities. But first, I have to ensure he stays loyal." "How?" Clara asked. Vivian's smile widened, cold and calculated. "By giving him a reason to fear me more than he fears anyone else." Detective Elijah Crane was closer than Vivian realized. After weeks of chasing dead ends, he had finally found a thread to pull. A contact at a financial institution had confirmed unusual activity linked to Whitmore's accounts. Activity that matched Vivian's pattern of manipulation. "She's here," Crane told Dr. Penelope Marks as they reviewed the files in his hotel room. "She's using Whitmore to build something bigger." Marks raised an eyebrow. "Bigger? What could be bigger than freedom?" Crane's jaw tightened. "Power. Control. Revenge. Vivian doesn't just want to escape. She wants to win." Marks nodded. "Then we need to act fast. If she's manipulating Whitmore, she's already a step ahead." Crane stood, his resolve firm. "Not for long." That evening, Whitmore invited Vivian to another private dinner at his penthouse. The setting was lavish, with candlelight reflecting off crystal glasses and fine china. Whitmore poured her a glass of wine, his demeanor warm but cautious. "You've been busy," Whitmore said, handing her the glass. "The board has been raving about your insights." Vivian smiled, accepting the glass. "I'm glad I could contribute. I find your company's potential intriguing." Whitmore studied her, his expression serious. "But potential comes with risk. I've been in this business long enough to know when someone is holding something back." Vivian tilted her head, her smile unfaltering. "Are you questioning my intentions, Charles?" "Not questioning," Whitmore said, leaning closer. "Clarifying." Vivian met his gaze, her voice soft but firm. "I have no intentions other than helping you succeed. But if you doubt me, perhaps this partnership isn't what you want." Whitmore hesitated, then shook his head. "I trust you. You've proven yourself." Vivian's smile widened. "Good. Because we're only just beginning." While Vivian solidified her hold on Whitmore, Crane prepared his own trap. Using a confidential informant within Whitmore's organization, he planted false information about a new opportunity that would supposedly expose a rival investor's vulnerabilities. The bait was simple but irresistible, something Vivian couldn't ignore. "This will force her to act," Crane told Marks. "And when she does, we'll be waiting." Marks frowned. "What if she realizes it's a trap?" "She won't," Crane said confidently. "Vivian always thinks she's the smartest person in the room. That's her blind spot." The next day, Whitmore called Vivian to discuss the noob opportunity. He was visibly excited, unaware that he was being manipulated from both sides. "This is big," Whitmore said, handing Vivian a dossier. "If we move quickly, we can outmaneuver the competition." Vivian flipped through the dossier, her sharp mind analyzing every detail. Something about the information felt too convenient. But she dismissed the thought quickly. She couldn't afford hesitation. "Let's move forward," Vivian said, her voice decisive. "But carefully. I'll handle the negotiations." Whitmore nodded, clearly relieved to have her on board. "I knew I could count on you." Vivian smiled, though her mind was already racing. If this was a setup, she needed to turn it to her advantage. And if it wasn't, the rewards would be worth the risk. That evening, Vivian and Clara met with the rival investor at an upscale restaurant. The man, a polished figure with an air of confidence, presented his proposal. Vivian listened intently, her every word and gesture calculated to maintain control. But as the conversation progressed, Vivian noticed subtle inconsistencies. The man's answers were too rehearsed, his demeanor too polished. It wasn't until she excused herself to the restroom and overheard a whispered conversation between two waitstaff that her suspicions were confirmed. "She's here," one of them said. "Crane wants eyes on her at all times." Vivian's heart raced, but her expression remained calm. She returned to the table, her plan already shifting. "I appreciate the offer," Vivian said smoothly, standing to leave. but I'll need time to consider. The man frowned but nodded. Of course. Take all the time you need. Vivian and Clara left the restaurant, their movements brisk but controlled. Once they were safely inside their car, Clara turned to Vivian, her face pale. That was a trap, wasn't it? Clara asked. Vivian nodded, her expression cold. Crane's trap. But it won't work. What do we do now? Clara asked, panic creeping into her voice. Vivian's gray eyes glinted with determination. We turn the tables. Back at his hotel, Crane waited for word from his team. When the call came, he answered immediately. She didn't take the bait, the informant said. She walked away. Crane's jaw tightened. Of course she did. She's too smart to fall for something that obvious. Marks, who had been listening, frowned. So what now? Crane's eyes narrowed. Now we force her hand. Far across the city, Vivian sat in her hotel suite, her mind racing. Crane was closer than she had anticipated, and his determination posed a real threat. But Vivian had faced greater challenges before, and she had always emerged victorious. As the city lights glittered beyond the window, Vivian leaned back in her chair, a faint smile on her lips. The game was far from over, and she still had cards to play. For now, she would wait, and when the time came, she would strike with devastating precision. The Widow's Revenge. Chapter 9, The Final Betrayal. The morning light filtered through the heavy curtains of Vivian's suite, casting long shadows on the walls. She sat at the dining table, a chessboard spread before her, each piece meticulously arranged. For Vivian, the game wasn't just a pastime, it was a metaphor for her life. She had always played to win, sacrificing pawns, outmaneuvering opponents, and setting up the perfect checkmate. Clara sat across from her, fidgeting nervously. The events of the previous night had rattled her, and she struggled to maintain her composure. Crane's getting closer, Clara said, her voice trembling. What if he finds us? Vivian moved a knight across the board, her expression calm. He won't find us unless we want him to. Clara frowned. You mean unless you want him to? Vivian smiled faintly, her gray eyes glinting with quiet amusement. Exactly. Every move Crane makes, every trap he sets, only strengthens my position. He doesn't realize he's part of my plan. Clara hesitated, then nodded, though unease lingered in her gaze. And Whitmore, what if he finds out what you're doing? Vivian's smile faded slightly, replaced by a cold determination. Then we'll handle him. That afternoon, Vivian met with Charles Whitmore at his private office. The space was opulent, with floor-to-ceiling windows offering a panoramic view of the city. Whitmore greeted her warmly, but there was a hint of suspicion in his eyes. Elizabeth, Whitmore said, gesturing for her to sit. We need to talk. Vivian's expression remained serene as she took her seat. Of course. What's on your mind? Whitmore leaned forward, his tone serious. I've been hearing things, whispers about you. People questioning your background, your motives. It's unsettling. Vivian tilted her head, feigning surprise. Whispers. From whom? Whitmore hesitated, then shook his head. It doesn't matter. What matters is whether I can trust you. Vivian met his gaze, her voice soft but firm. Charles, trust is the foundation of any partnership. If you have doubts about me, then I suggest you look at the results I've delivered. Actions speak louder than words. Whitmore studied her for a moment, then nodded slowly. You're right. I'm sorry. I just needed reassurance. Vivian smiled faintly. You have nothing to worry about. Our partnership is as strong as ever. But as Whitmore turned his attention to his desk, Vivian's mind raced. The whispers he mentioned weren't idle gossip. They were Crane's doing. He was closing in, and she needed to act quickly. Later that evening, Vivian returned to the suite, her composure intact but her thoughts swirling. Clara sat on the couch, scrolling nervously through her tablet. Whitmore's on to us, Vivian said, pouring herself a glass of wine. Crane's pressure is working. Clara's eyes widened. What are we going to do? Vivian sat beside her, placing a reassuring hand on Clara's shoulder. We adapt. Whitmore is valuable, but he's not indispensable. If he becomes a liability, we cut him loose. Clara swallowed hard, nodding. And Crane? Vivian's lips curved into a faint smile. Crane is playing his role perfectly. But soon, it'll be time to end the game. The next day, Crane received a tip from one of his informants. A source within Whitmore's company claimed that Vivian was planning to move a significant sum of money through an offshore account, using Whitmore's resources. Crane immediately set a plan in motion, coordinating with financial regulators to freeze the account and trace the transfer. This is it, Crane told Dr. Marks as they reviewed the details. We catch her in the act, and she has nowhere to run. Marks nodded, though her expression was cautious. Be careful, Elijah. Vivian doesn't take risks without a backup plan. If she's making a move this big, it's because she's already accounted for every possible outcome. Crane's jaw tightened. Then we'll give her an outcome she didn't expect. That night, Vivian attended a high-profile charity gala with Whitmore, her presence as captivating as ever. She moved through the crowd with ease, charming everyone she met. But her focus was on Whitmore. He was her key to accessing the offshore account, and tonight was the night to finalize her plan. As the evening progressed, Vivian excused herself from the main event and made her way to a private office in the venue. She logged into the account using credentials she had stolen from Whitmore, her movements swift and precise. But as she initiated the transfer, an alert flashed on the screen. Account frozen. Contact administrator. Vivian's heart raced, but her expression remained calm. She quickly logged out and wiped her tracks, knowing the freeze was Crane's doing. Returning to the gala, she found Whitmore waiting for her, his expression tense. Elizabeth, what's going on? I just received a notification about my accounts. Vivian smiled faintly, slipping her arm through his. Don't worry, Charles. It's just a minor hiccup. I'll handle it. But Whitmore pulled away, his suspicion finally breaking through. No, Elizabeth. I've been too trusting. I think it's time you told me the truth. Vivian's eyes narrowed, her voice dropping to a cold whisper. Careful, Charles. You don't want to make an enemy of me. Whitmore's face paled, but he held his ground. I think I already have. Meanwhile, Crane and his team waited at a secure location, monitoring the fallout from the account freeze. But as the hours passed, Crane's gut told him something was wrong. She's not panicking, Crane said, pacing the room. She's pivoting. We need to move now. Vivian returned to her suite, her mind working overtime. Whitmore was compromised, Crane was closing in, and her options were dwindling. But Vivian Hawthorne didn't crumble under pressure. She thrived on it. As Clara approached nervously, Vivian turned to her, her voice sharp but resolute. It's time to cut ties. Pack your things. We're leaving. Clara hesitated. What about Whitmore? Vivian's smile was icy. He's no longer useful. The chapter ends with Vivian making one last phone call, her tone calm but commanding. Initiate the contingency plan. It's time to disappear. Far across the city, Crane stood in the cold night air, staring at the flickering lights of the skyline. He could feel Vivian slipping through his fingers again, but he wasn't ready to give up. Not yet. The game wasn't over until he said it was. The Widow's Revenge. Chapter 10, The Widow's Gambit. The morning dawned gray and cold, the city blanketed in an eerie stillness. Vivian Hawthorne moved with precision through her luxury suite, packing only the essentials into a discreet travel bag. Her calm demeanor masked the storm brewing in her mind. The pieces were falling into place, but the game had reached its most dangerous stage. She had everything to lose, and everything to gain. Clara watched from the corner, her eyes filled with uncertainty. Are we really leaving? She asked, her voice trembling. Vivian zipped her bag and turned to her protege. Leaving is the only option. Whitmore has outlived his usefulness, and Crane is too close. Staying would be suicide. Clara hesitated, then nodded, though doubt lingered in her gaze. Where will we go? Vivian's smile was faint, almost imperceptible. Somewhere they can't follow. But first, there's one more move to make. Across the city, Detective Elijah Crane prepared for the final showdown. The account freeze had rattled Vivian, but she hadn't taken the bait. Instead, her silence spoke volumes. It was the calm before the storm. She's planning something, Crane said, pacing in his makeshift command center. We've cornered her, and now she's going to lash out. Dr. Penelope Marks sat nearby, studying a map of Vivian's movements. She's always been two steps ahead, Elijah. If we want to catch her, we need to think like her. Crane nodded, his jaw tightening. She won't run without tying up loose ends. Whitmore, Clara, anyone who knows too much. We need to protect them. Marks hesitated. You think she'll hurt Clara? She'll do whatever it takes to survive, Crane said grimly. And Clara's just another pawn in her game. Vivian's first stop was Whitmore's office. She arrived unannounced, her presence as commanding as ever. Whitmore stood as she entered, his expression a mix of anger and fear. Elizabeth, Whitmore said, his tone strained. I've been trying to reach you. I know, Vivian replied, her voice cold. But I've been busy. Whitmore stepped closer, his frustration boiling over. Busy. My accounts are frozen, my board is panicking, and I'm being investigated. What the hell have you gotten me into? Vivian's gray eyes narrowed. What I've done is save you from ruin. But your incompetence has made things complicated. Incompetence? Whitmore snapped. You've been using me from the start. Vivian's lips curled into a faint smile. And you've benefited greatly from it. Don't pretend you're a victim. Whitmore's face turned red, his fists clenching. I could expose you. Vivian stepped closer, her tone icy. You could try. But if you do, every skeleton in your closet will come tumbling out. Your choice, Charles. Sink quietly, or burn spectacularly. Whitmore stared at her, the weight of her words sinking in. Finally, he slumped into his chair, defeated. What do you want? Your silence, Vivian said simply. And access to your offshore accounts. Consider it a parting gift. Whitmore nodded, too broken to resist. Vivian turned and walked out without a second glance. Back at the hotel, Clara was growing more anxious by the minute. She paced the room, glancing at her packed bag and the burner phone on the table. When Vivian returned, Clara rushed to her. What happened? Clara asked. It's done, Vivian said, pouring herself a glass of wine. Whitmore is no longer a problem. Clara's brow furrowed. What does that mean? It means we're free to leave, Vivian replied, her tone dismissive. Clara hesitated, then blurted out, I don't think I can do this anymore. Vivian froze, her glass hovering midair. She turned to Clara, her gray eyes cold and calculating. Excuse me? I can't keep running, Clara said, her voice shaking. This isn't what I signed up for. I just want a normal life. Vivian's expression softened, though her gaze remained sharp. Clara, you've come so far. Don't throw it all away now. But Clara began. No, Vivian interrupted, her voice firm. You're scared. I understand. But fear is temporary. Freedom is forever. Clara's resolve wavered, and she nodded reluctantly. Okay. Vivian smiled faintly. Good. Now let's go. Meanwhile, Crane and his team raced to the hotel. A tip from an informant had finally given him Vivian's exact location. As they ascended the elevator, Crane's heart pounded with anticipation. He had chased Vivian for too long to let her slip away now. When they reached the suite, they found it empty, the room meticulously clean. But a single note lay on the dining table, addressed to Crane. Dear Detective, you've always been a worthy opponent, but this is my game. And I never lose. V. Crane clenched the note in his fist, his frustration boiling over. Damn it! Marks placed a hand on his shoulder. We'll find her. Crane shook his head. She's gone. But this isn't over. Far away, Vivian and Clara boarded a private jet under new aliases. As the plane ascended into the clouds, Clara glanced nervously at Vivian. Where are we going? Clara asked. Somewhere they'll never find us, Vivian replied, her tone serene. And somewhere we can start over. Clara nodded, though her unease lingered. Vivian sipped her champagne, her mind already working on the next phase of her plan. She had escaped Crane's trap, silenced Whitmore, and secured her freedom once again. But as the city disappeared beneath the clouds, Vivian knew one thing for certain. The game was far from over. And as long as she was alive, she would never stop playing. Back in the city, Crane stood at the window of his hotel room, staring at the skyline. He knew Vivian was out there, rebuilding her empire, plotting her next move. And he knew he wouldn't stop until he brought her to justice. The chase would continue, but for now, Vivian Hawthorne had won. And she intended to savor every moment of her victory.